Let the trap!
Listening to What the Truck!
Are you ready to truck it? Welcome to Friday. It's your Nooner with Tuner. You're making through Blitz Week? Did you? Did you do okay over here? Eric Norquist, he says, happy International Road Check, everybody. Got a clean inspection today on Highway 2 in Montana. Tell to all you goofballs that took the week off and are hiding at home with your clapped out Freightliners, don't worry, I'll haul your freight for you. You know, a few, that's on the trucker side. A lot of truckers didn't seem to have a problem with this, but a lot of brokers, they seem to see some shipments dropping off. I put a poll out about Blitz Week. By the way, clock, please. I put a poll out about Blitz Week, and most people said they weren't sitting. Most of the drivers, but some of the workers out there, some of the brokers out there were like, yeah, we've had freight drop off. I think Skyler over here in Chattanooga, Skyler Boyd, said it's been a brutal week. How about you guys? Let us know in the comments. Was it tough out there? It's been a good week for me. I launched a store. Go to WTTgear.com. We have our spring summer collection right here. You can scan that QR code right on the screen. Get your own shirts, hats. We got the Miami Vibe shirt in there, the logo. My wife, actually, it was her suggestion to put some crop tops in the shirt for you ladies out there. And it's our second bestseller behind the males, Miami Vibes black t-shirt. Really cool. Thank you guys so much. Go over WTTgear.com or scan the QR code one more time to check it out. That QR code one more time to check it out. Thank you guys so much. All right, awesome. So, hey, there's no shortage over at the What the Truck store. Everything is in stock. But if you're a Zinner, right? Zin got super popular in this space around June of last year. You've seen all the memes. You've seen all the brokers talking about it. Check out this tweet from Zin Capital. He said, the Zin shortage has hit New York City. Just got the last $10 spearmint. $10? Wow, New York's expensive. Just got the last $10 spearmint can from my usual guy. Just for reference, these are, I think, about $5 online and maybe about $6 in most stores. But he says it's the worst thing to ever happen in NYC. The Freight Bandit says there is currently a nationwide shortage of the popular smokeless nicotine pouch Zyn. Due to the supply chain constraints, the Swedish company has not been able to keep shelves stocked in the U.S. Can you find any Zyn? Why has there been zero media coverage on this? I covered in my newsletter last week. I'm covering it right now. There's plenty of media coverage. Super Trucker says it's spreading to South Jersey, too. All of us 6-milligram flavors are out of stock. He's buying like overseas ones. He's got like European ones. Lemon Spritz. What else does he got here? Well, here's one of the reasons why, though. I think it might just be the insane growth. They weren't prepared for this. Take a look at this chart. Take a look at how much Zyn has grown over the past couple years. Bluth Capital says Zyn Q1 usage was at 131.6 million. It's an 80% year-over-year growth annualized to 526 million, which would be 36% growth, assuming flatline for the rest of the year. This is the fastest growing CPG product in over 50 years. What was the one over 50 years ago? I'm not sure. With a 5.5% dividend, PM should be about 150. This is not financial advice. That's just stock advice. But 22 million pouches of this crap are consumed a day. But their loss is some other company's gains, because the CEO of Lucy Tobacco has been all over social media. I think he's looking for people who are mentioning the shortage, pointing out the shortage. Right now, you know, this is a product that it had a brand, its brand name is almost like Kleenex. Everybody knows Zyn, but there's other products like Lucy out there. And Lucy, they contacted Zyn Capital, and I love this guy's hustle. He's like, hey, great shortage of 2024. We got you. We sent him a care package. I'm tempted to try it, but I'm a Zinner. Their CEO reached out to me. He said, this is a game of inches. His name's John Coogan. He goes, this is a game of inches. I will hand deliver a package to you if that's what it takes. He DM'd me. I think he's going to send some samples. And he says, Zyn out of stock in New York City, but we aren't. I love that hustle. I mean, it's such a great time to get back into it. Now, I was down at Matt's in Louisville, and I was going to go check this bridge out, but the part that I wanted to check out was closed. I think it may still be closed, or they probably reopened it by now, but it was when I was down at Matt's, but they've released the dash cam footage in that shocking video of the Cisco truck going over the side of the bridge. If you roll that right now, take a look here. So what you're looking at is this happened on March 1st. It was on the George Rogers Clark Memorial Bridge. just as harrowing as you can imagine. My kids say, and so does Super Trucker, my other big kid, he says that's like the beginning of the Paw Patrol movie. But according to the Associated Press, they said that court records show Trevor Branham was driving on the road. He was the driver of a pickup, was charged with 4 counts of wanton endangerment and 1 count of operating on a suspended license when he cut through, was weaving through traffic over there. And that led to this accident, led to this driver going over that side of the cliff. The fire department there made such an amazing rescue. Fortunately, she's okay. Hopefully, he gets charged. Hopefully, he's not back out on the road for a while. Can you imagine that? Would you go back to driving a truck if that happened to you? Do you think you could get back behind the wheel? I'm not quite sure if I could. God bless this lady. God bless this lady. Now, a little more on the freight recession here. This is not good news, and I hate to bring this to you on a Friday, but Craig Fuller, he says, carrier execs have said the great freight recession is one of the worst since 2009. Their financials prove this isn't an exaggeration. The headline here was truckload carrier profits sank. It's a 14-year low in first quarter. ACT report links notable bad profit margins to continued overcapacity of trucks in the market. Nothing new to listeners of this show. We talk about it all the time. But there's some new dynamics. And I cover this in a newsletter. We've had Thomas Wasson come on here. But he was talking about how private fleets are now more actively competing for spot freights to fill empty backfalls, lengthening below trend for higher demands. That was in the Cass report as well. And how that basically shakes out is now you got more competition in the spot market. There's already overcapacity, but now you got the big fleets going in there too to start picking up some of those backhauls. So that could lead to further depression. However, it is Friday, right? I can't just like have you all depressed. So I also have some good data for you from Sonar. Kyle Taylor posted this. Inland TEUs, right? Those are up 16% year over year. So we got freight coming into our shores that needs to be moved. Loaded container volumes in the U.S. are up 10%. And total freight tenders in the U.S. are also up 10% year over year. Hang in there, everybody. Hang in there. Now, one last thing. If you caught the show that Mark Manera was on last week, I had him on because my dad had had a heart attack a couple weeks ago. When he went, we got the shocking news that two of his ventricles were, one of them was fully blocked, one was 99% blocked, and the other one was 95% blocked. He goes to doctors all the time. The guy's late 70s now. Never warned of this till he has a heart attack, though. He was on some cholesterol medication, but they don't tell you, like, everything is completely blocked. Well, obviously, me being related to the guy and, you know, 30-some-odd years away from being in that territory, I had to start taking it seriously, too. So I invited Mark on because Mark Manera, he runs a program called Offshift that's specifically designed for truck drivers trying to lose weight. So I reached out to Mark and I said, hey, Mark, you know what? Let me do your program. Like, I had you on, but I personally haven't done it myself. So how can I better communicate with the audience? Plus, you know, my dad's heart attack lit a fire under my ass. So this is something that I should do. So drivers out there, if you want to know how this program works, I'm going to start covering on the show. I'm going to take you through my journey. Here's my starting point. Last week, I was at 227. Show that one right there. 1 week later, -6. Show that. Yeah, look at that. 221. So got to keep going. Clarissa Rankin in the green room. Just gave a big thumbs up. Thank you, Clarissa. I appreciate you. All right. On episode 715 of What the Truck, I'm joined by trucker and influencer Clarissa Rankin. She's talking about how later this year we have the honor of judging Relays Hall of Fame with amazing people like Ryan Drosian, someone you may have heard of, Jeff Gordon. Maybe not. Jeff Gordon, anybody? Of course. We're going to be nominating for that. My good friend Jamie Hagan, he won last year. I wasn't even a voter. So I don't know. Nominate your drivers. Driver Appreciation Week is coming up. It's a really cool experience. Clarissa and I will get into it. We got entrepreneur, tech savvy, executive founder of Savant, Rotfather, gamer, and motorcycle enthusiast Juan Buena. He's going to talk about his founder's journey and a global workforce for a global supply chain. And we're going to kick things off with Control Chain's Nicole Slavin, who talks about trust in freight. With all that talk of fraud, double brokering, are we getting into a very low trust environment here in freight? And if we are, how do you reinforce that? What tools do you need to assure your customers that your company is doing the right thing and you're not one of the bad guys? We'll get into it. Let's tip the band and we'll start this show. This episode of What the Truck is brought to you by Redwood. Redwood Logistics orchestrates supply chain technology and logistics execution through a modern 4PL strategy. For more information, visit redwoodlogistics.com. By the way, I'll be in Miami next week doing a live show with them. I can't wait. It's going to be hot. All right, Nicole Slavin's here. She's the sales manager over at Control Chain. Hey, Nicole, how you doing? And introduce yourself to everyone here on What the Truck.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, Nicole Slavin with Control Chain. Excited to talk to you today about trust in relationships and transportation. And I think even what you were mentioning right before this segment started of the, you know, tons of capacity in the market and whatnot, you know, it comes down to those relationships that transportation providers have with their shipper partners. So excited to be here today.
the conversations around freight, and especially in a bad market, people have a lot of time to focus on this stuff. And then the bad actors come in, and it can paint a bad picture of all of us. So let's give them some tools, though. Like right now, what are sort of the key expectations of customers? Have they shifted at all in this environment?
Yeah, I mean, I think what it comes down to is, you know, everybody is touting their new technology, and there's exciting stuff in the market, beautiful, wonderful platforms. But it comes down to the relationship with the people, right? The barrier of entry to be able to use the tool needs to, you know, need to have a easy access, you know, intuitive, and it needs to do what it says it's going to do. But truly, at the end of the day, it comes down to the relationship. Who's going to pick up the phone, or who's going to proactively call you when those exceptions come up? And understand your business, work as an extension of your team. Yeah, I think the key in this market and in the future as well is taking off all of the manual work off of the shipper's plate. Anything you can automate, anything that you can help, you know, reduce the extra time and work on everyone's desks, that's the key.
You know, trust is under assault. I even saw a post today about a shady broker who is going around extorting like people for freight guards. He's saying, you, like, you pulled my freight, and he's putting a negative review on the company, and then he wants X amount of money for you to take that down. Of course, we hear about the fraud, and there's just a million different particulars that are going on. What do you think are like the biggest challenges right now from your seat and on your end of it?
I think the challenge is there's just, you know, there's so much in the marketplace. There's so many brokers out there. Transparency, which is a word I think is overused, but the true actual transparency, being able to see from the time you get your load entered all the way to the final delivery, of understanding, you know, exactly that the costs match what is expected, the truck you expected is the one picking up. Yeah, I think that is the key, and that is where technology will come into play, knowing that you are getting exactly what you're paying for. Yeah, it's unfortunate. I think we hear those horror stories of the double brokers and everything that goes along with that. But yeah, being able to trust your transportation partner is absolutely key.
You know, a lot of people can view tech as a double-edged sword. What is good in tech? What's good in customer service in tech? How is like the tech side of this helping assure customers?
Oh, that's a great question. So I think, as I had said before, truly understanding your shipper partner and being able to take the manual work off their desk, using technology to automate anything that's repeatable. And I think that is where trust and relationship comes in, because as you get to know your shipper and understand their business, anything that is a learned, repeatable part of that business, you can hopefully automate. The exceptions are where it comes in. And as much as everyone would love to never have an exception, this is transportation. There is a driver in a truck, and weather or an equipment breakdown or anything like that. And those are going to happen. So knowing that your partner is going to either, you know, proactively call you and tell you, here's the solution, already have it set up, or, you know, be there to manage them and learn from them and thoroughly understand, hey, what's the right solution to be able to, you know, fix this going forward. The hard part for me is when technology takes over the human element. No one wants to go to a help desk or, you know, enter in a chat function. You just want to know that someone's there to help you out, fix it. What's the solution? Not just follow up, but also follow through.
What are some of those strategies? What are some of those strategies that we can use to enhance trust in this environment?
Yeah, I think that really clear expectations are key. And the technology can't do that. So first of all, to start, when you're first onboarding, making sure that you know, everything is crystal clear how the business works and what is expected. But then more importantly, you can't just do that once. And that's the relationship. That's where the trust comes in. Knowing and understanding your shipper partner, making sure that, you know, people change roles as new people come in, that those introductions are made. But also any of that manual work that can be taken off is taken off. So it doesn't have to be a phone call. Not everybody wants that. But emails, any kind of other way of communicating so that the shipper understands that, hey, you know, the carrier knows, understands, is handling this business as expected. But truly, I think the relationship is what it comes down to. We're all doing the same thing day in and day out. Working with someone that you genuinely know and trust and enjoy working with, that's the win.
Yeah, I mean, email itself is a low trust environment now. There's so much like phishing that goes on to just spoof companies. You have to like every email you look at, you have to really scrutinize the heck out of the extensions on there, because they'll do stuff like truck stop, but then instead of like .com, it'll be like .co, or, and it looks exactly like it. And if you're going fast, you're booking loads quick, you might not notice. So the next thing you know, you got a situation where some freight is gone. Now, before I let you go, any tips to leave us with, and where do people get more information about your team?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think the most important thing to remember is like, who are you working with? And you know, how strong is that relationship? Are you getting what you want out of it? There's so much in the marketplace right now. So making sure that you have a good, strong relationship with your transportation partner. Would love to speak with anyone out there who's interested in learning more. Control Chain, you can come to our website, reach out to me directly on LinkedIn. We would love to talk to you, learn more about your business, and see how we can help you. Lots of different service options at Control Chain, and certainly can find a fit for everyone out there.
Hey, Nicole, thank you so much for stopping by. I appreciate your time today. Have an awesome weekend.
Thank you so much. Have a great one.
You too. Take care. All right. So, you know, another low trust environment, probably like flying right now, right? You know, you got Boeing, you got doors flying off on airlines. How about just getting off the plane? Take a look at this video right here. Dude's standing on the side and they just roll the walkway away and he just fell on his ass. Look at the bump he takes. So like this guy, I'm going to give him a lot of credit. Like, He must have gotten like pro wrestling school or something, because he tucks his chin, he slaps his arms down. He definitely didn't hit his head. He might have like a hip injury. That's a fall. That's a far drop over there. New trucker Mike says the high vis vest made all the difference. I don't know about that. And freight broker guy says, yeah, actually a great break fall. Reach back to slap the ground with both hands. I bet he even screamed Marine Corps. I bet he did. Oh, by the way, ladies, like I said, I didn't forget about you. Go and get your crop tops right now over at the What the Truck store. Go to WTTgear.com. You can scan that QR code on the screen. We got them in pink. We got, I think there's like a rose pink color that the crop tops are in. My wife put a white in there. She put a black. We got traditional logo, black crop top. We also got regular shirts too. But hey, ladies, can't forget about you. Speaking of ladies, Clarissa Rankin, what are you doing on What the Truck? Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing today?
How are you doing? We like when Relay reached out to me, they're like, oh, and this person, Clarissa. And I'm like, oh, never heard of her. And I was like, no, just kidding. She's been on the show before. I know Clarissa. We've met, but it's been a little while. And I'm so happy we get to sort of collaborate on this Relay payments thing. You know what? I have a video from last year's winner, from Jamie Hagan. Should I play it for everybody?
Yes, go for it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's see what Jamie had to say.
Hey, everybody. Jamie Hagan here from Hellbent Express. I don't know if you knew this or not, but Relay Payments has a little thing called Hall of Fame, where you get the nominated driver to be a part of that. I was a recipient of that last year and got to go to the NASCAR Bristol race and meet William Byron that they sponsor in that race. Pretty awesome. Little guy you might know as Jeff Gordon was there. That was pretty cool. It was a great time, but it's open. Nominated guy, it is relaypayments.com.
Clarissa, I can't nominate you though, because we're judges, can we? Because like, you're my favorite driver.
I know that's right. If you could, I would be up top. Like, yes.
So on your perspective, like when they reached out to you, because you're a driver, how did you feel about like this whole thing? It's really cool to honor drivers and obviously have something fun like this NASCAR experience.
I love it because it's given us truck drivers an opportunity to win an award or feel like that we can accomplish and reach for something, to be VIP of something, because we so used to driving behind the wheel. Now we can reach for a gold every year. So I think it's a great opportunity for truckers to win something for once.
Of course. And like, you can nominate your own drivers. You can nominate your friend. You might even be able to nominate yourself. I don't think they're going to verify your identity on there. The easiest way to do it, you can scan that QR code that's on the screen, or you can go to relaypayments.com. It's right on their blog. All the information you need, or just Google Relay Payments Hall of Fame. It comes right up, but it's going to be really cool. So nominations, Clarissa, they're open right now, April 19th to June 30th. Yes. So you've had some time. So there's already some nominees rolling in. I think we have a few hundred already, but make sure your drivers get in there. If you got a driver on your fleet, you're the fleet manager right now, look at your favorite drivers. Look at all your drivers. Throw their names in there. And I tell you why, because the public voting is going to start coming up, right? You, me, Jeff, Ryan, we're going to go through all these nominations. We're going to see who the best ones are on there. And then we're going to have, there's going to be the public voting July 3rd to July 31st, which is just around the corner. The finalists get announced August 1st. The actual judging of who the finalist winners will be is going to, with us, will be August 1st through the 6th. The winners announce the 3rd, and that experience happens a little bit later in the month where your drivers get to go to that Bristol race. I think we get to go to that race too, Clarissa.
Yes. We do, and I'm excited. I've never been to a NASCAR race before, so I'm going to be like a kid in the candy store with content. I cannot wait.
So, like, what are you looking for in your nominees? What do you think, like, the criteria for a Hall of Fame-worthy driver is?
A driver that knows he or she is a superhero on wheels. Love what they do. Every time they get behind the steering wheel, it's not about the money. It's all about the vibe. It's all about the industry and providing to this country. So that's what I'm looking for.
Looking for some vibes. Now, do you already have you nominated? Or are we allowed to even nominate anyone? I'm not really sure. Because I'm a judge. I'm trying to sort of stay impartial.
Yes, I don't think we can, so I didn't want to take no chances of messing up my judging spot. So I'm just going to fall back and just wait until it's time to judge everybody.
Now, what deducts points? Like wearing slides while driving the truck, like Crocs through the truck stop? You know, do you get them for little petty things like that? or what do you think would really knock a driver out of the race for you?
I think what knock a driver out of the race is doing too much behind the wheel, like too much road rage. They need to be behind that wheel and understanding that it's trucker's life, baby. Catch the vibe, hit the road, enjoy the life, and call it a day. Don't be having no videos of acting crazy. And I don't agree with that.
You know who some people should nominate is that driver who was in that Cisco truck in Louisville that went off the side of the bridge. That dash cam video came out. Now, Clarissa, you're a driver. I got to ask you, have you ever been in an accident like that?
No, I've never been in an accident like that, but I have witnessed some crazy accidents in front of me. But like you asked the question earlier, would I get back behind the steering wheel? Of course I would. It's trucker's life, baby. I would get back behind the steering wheel.
Really?
It
would just be a good story you could tell on the truck stop.
Exactly. I would be the one be like, that was me. That was me hanging off that bridge and I can't swim. That was me. I would be all hype.
You and I are content creators. We're like, oh, awesome. I can upload this to TikTok, man. I own the story now because this was literally me that almost went off the bridge. I would never stop telling this. Every What the Truck, I would open with like that video and like me like hanging there like crazy. Like, it's me. We need to nominate her though. She like, I would love to meet her. I would love to see her at the Hall. If you're listening, lady, like reach out to us.
Yes. Yes.
Now, Clarissa, yourself, for people in the audience who may not have met you, tell us a little bit about you. You're a driver. You're a bit of an influencer. What's going on in the world of Clarissa these days?
Well, I am the number one most famous female truck driver in the world. I've been seen all over the world, but also I am the number one brand ambassador in the trucking industry. I mean, I done did sponsorships for some of the biggest names, Febreze, Pallet Flying J, Amazon, Motive, Relay, like you name it, I have did it. And now I have officially opened up my own CDL school if I can train other people on how to get into the industry. So yeah.
Interesting. Now, CDL school, what makes a good CDL school? Because those can be sort of controversial. Some people don't like them.
Yes, some people don't like them. What makes a good CDL school is someone like myself doing it for the people, doing it for the industry, training people the right way with safety, making sure they understand the road and understanding the rules and regulations, and also enjoying the life of the road. So that's what makes a good CDL school, doing it for the people and not for the money.
Well, you've got real world experience too. So when you're putting these programs together, you have inside baseball on what drivers actually really, really need to know to prepare themselves on the road. Where are drivers not prepared right now? Where could they be learning better? Because we hear those complaints all the time too, that it's the old school guys. They're always going, the young guys, they don't know what they're doing. They're just driving automatics and plastic hoods and you know what I'm saying.
The main place drivers can understand more about the industry is finding a positive influencer like myself, someone who loves what they do and all about the people in the industry, all about bettering the community of truckers. That's how I feel. Yeah.
Wow. What's the vibe out there right now anyway? It's been a tough market for the past couple of years. You talk to a lot of drivers. How people feeling? A lot of, you know, people have tapped out. You know, people leaving the industry. You know, anyone coming in, like, they're like, hey, I've got a great idea. I'm going to start a trucking company or a TMS. We're a fuel card.
Yeah, a lot of the vibe right now is we just got through going with the rates being very low. But anytime it go low, we got to go back high. So now we're getting back into that time when COVID is done and the rates are starting to pick back up. So we're getting people behind that stand wheel while the rates are picking back up so they can learn how to make this money and be able to continue to grow this money. So yeah, the rates are going back up now.
Now, Carissa, do you think CDL schools need to also provide a business education, a certain idea of how rates and markets work? Because that's an area, too, a lot of drivers seem confused on. They'll yell, why are the brokers selling rates so low? And it's like, okay, it's a two-side transaction. That didn't move unless a truck driver moved it. So someone bought that. It's two sides. And, you kind of have to understand the fundamentals of volume and capacity when entering this market, or else you can get yourself really burnt. We know some people who took a bath during COVID, especially the ones who bought used trucks for, $180,000. Crazy.
Yes. You are exactly right. That's why at RNK Train Academy, I teach people dispatching, financial literacy. I teach people all about how to run their business, manage their business, and start a business and understand them rates. Now, they do got to come on their own time, but it comes in their tuition that I give them that knowledge. And it's from 9 to 5. Once a month, and anybody can come, but if they're a student, they get the education, because I want them to understand what rates mean and how to negotiate rates and all that good stuff. So it's crazy that you asked that question. Yes, absolutely.
You know, there was just a story on FreightWaves yesterday, and I posted it on Twitter, and it got a ton of traction. I think it was someplace in Washington. There was a school, there was a high school that has a CDL class, and they're pushing for an exemption that at 17, these drivers could drive the trucks. Now, they'd have to be with somebody. And I know there's been a lot of push to make the driver age younger and younger. Where do you sit on that topic?
You know what? I agree with 18 years old, because I run a special right now that if a student is between 18 and 21, that they get their tuition at a discount rate. But I think it's a great opportunity, because some students don't want to go straight to college. So some of them just want to be a worker, just want to start into this working industry and trucking. So I push it. I really do. Because if I would have had trucking at 18, I would have never went and got spent all that money to get that degree, even though I'm still using it. But I wouldn't have spent all that money at first.
Yeah.
Maybe not
17, but trucking does need new bodies. They need new blood to come in. I mean, it's an aging population. And I know the topic of driver shortage is very controversial. I agree. There is no driver shortage at the moment. Obviously, the tender rejects are 4%, right? We're actually in a market that is over capacity. But will we be in 5 years? Will we be in 10 years? You know, and when a lot of the aging population retires, and it doesn't matter what industry you're in order to grow, you need to have new entrants come in, new minds and new bodies. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I absolutely agree with that. Give a little bit of sass to the trucking industry, because the younger community, they can vibe it up. They can make it look fun and exciting and live off the road and be able to travel, make a good living. So that'll kind of not push the older community out, but retire the older community instead of them driving for 40 plus years. No, retire, enjoy your life before it's your time. So yeah, I definitely agree.
Clarissa, what do you think the worst thing in trucking right now is?
The worst thing in trucking right now is people thinking they know the industry and never got behind that steering wheel and drove it. I feel like that's the worst thing. People need to, if you experienced it, live behind that wheel, lived in that truck, and understand the industry, then talk about it. But if not, no, you don't understand this world. Don't live in it. you can't say too much.
One of the reasons that on this show I have C-suite executives, I have students, I have truck, I try to have the whole industry to show the different signs and perspectives of it. It's because, you know why? I would go to conferences, right? And there'd be like an EV truck company there. And they would talk, and I'd be like, it doesn't sound like you have a single person on your staff that has ever driven a truck because of some of these demands and the way that you're talking about this and the way that you're presenting it to the person next to me, who happens to be the director of sustainability of an OTR fleet. I feel like there's a big impasse. It's not just like drivers themselves or dispatchers or brokers. I feel a lot of people don't take enough time to actually look what's happening inside the truck and how that actually functions.
Absolutely right. That's exactly how I feel. And if people would understand it and get some more knowledge about how that truck is ran, function, and how that driver has to sacrifice a lot to be a driver, the world would be a better place.
It would. Well, let's not end on a negative note like that. Let's end on a pop. What's the best thing in trucking right now? What has got you excited? What's got you super passionate right now?
The main thing that got me super passionate is that we are allowing the 18-year-olds to get into the community and be able to find a good job to start. Either they can use the trucking career to pay for college, or they can get into the trucking community at a young age. Also, what got me passionate is the rates are going back up, so people can start these trucking businesses and people can get behind that steering wheel and travel the world and learn more about the world, all because they are supporting the world of trucking and being a provider to the community. So that's my love that I think is best.
I love what you're saying. Can you show that QR code one more time? Everybody out there, go vote and nominate your favorite driver. Those nominations are open. Again, the date on that is you have until June 30th, but it's already May 17th, so we're already almost halfway through the voting, so make sure you get yours in. It takes like 2 seconds, right? It's a nice thing you can do for your driver. You can go to relaypayments.com, click on blog, it's right there, or you can, if you're a visual viewer, you can do it on the QR code. Chris, before I let you go, where can people find you in the meantime before they see us on that judging panel?
Oh, they can find me on Tickety Tock 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 at Clarissa Rankin. Also on Instagram at I Am Clarissa Rankin. And just Google Clarissa Rankin, all my stuff will pop up. I'm just here for the people. So, and if you want to meet me, they need to nominate people, get them in there so they can meet us at the race. So that'd be good.
Very, very well. Hey, Clarissa, I'll send you this episode after the show. Feel free to cut up whatever you want for your TikTok. We'll be nominated and we'll be collaborating, and then eventually we'll see each other on that judging panel along with Jeff Gord and Ryan over at Relay. It's going
to
be an awesome time.
Can't wait.
Amazing weekend, and you know, keep being awesome.
All right, thank you. You too. All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Good on her. All right, we got to tip the band. All right, this episode of What the Truck is brought to you by Redwood Logistics. Redwood Logistics orchestrates supply chain technology and logistics execution through a modern 4PL strategy. For more information, visit redwoodlogistics.com. Now, here's a little safety thing for you. And I don't know if this can happen in a 4-wheeler, this can happen in an 18-wheeler. Let's roll this tape right here. We're looking at a driver. It's actually a team driver. There's a guy behind him sleeping right now. And this driver himself, you can see him, he's starting to nod off. Those eyes are starting to get heavy. And that's like one of the most dangerous things that can happen when you're driving. I think I fell asleep for like 5 seconds once when I was driving on 95 in Connecticut. I immediately had to pull over. This is what you get, because look at this guy here. He had no clue. He goes off to the side, ends up down the hill. His buddy is in the back over there. He got woken up. Fortunately, they were both just shaken up, not seriously injured in this incident. But drivers out there, don't race the clock. I mean, you know, I know you have to race the clock sometimes, but, you know, don't race your own body clock. If those eyes are starting to get heavy, you got to pull over. You got to get some fresh air. You got to stretch. And if that ain't working, you got to take your break. You got to go to sleep. It's just not worth it. Just not worth it, man. All right, one more thing here. Check out this shirt right here that I got on this. I've told you a billion times during the show. WTTgear.com. By the way, thank you for your order, Jet McCandless. Very appreciative. And everyone else who's put in order so far. We got hats in there with the classic logo. We got shirts in there. We got slides. We got a bucket hat with the Miami Vibes logo. We also got Miami Vibes shirt and a regular t-shirt. We got them in crop tops. We got a tank top. You guys have done a great job liking this stuff so far. I know a lot of people ask for it, so I'm happy we got this stood up. If you're a visual viewer, you can scan the QR code. If you're listening to this on the radio or on the audio podcast, WTTgear.com. Get yourself some. Be the flyest guy in freight, right? This is fashion over here. I'm designing this stuff. This isn't like, you know, any corporate swag crap. All right, Juan Buena, founder and CEO at Savant. What's up, brother? Juan, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
What's up, dude? You're the rot father, right? I took my lab out today. My wife did. She came back and she's like, Randy, our lab, he's a boy, and we still haven't neutered him. And it's kind of causing issues because, like, labs are super friendly, but he's also like a dude. And he's in that phase where, like, this girl, St. Bernard, came up to him and he was just like,
you know, oh, they get grumpy.
They do. They get ag.
They get grumpy. They resent you for a while. One of my other dogs, Igor, when we neutered him, like, early on, he was mad with me for a while. Like, he tried to bite me a few times after that.
Oh, see, we haven't done it yet. We haven't neutered him yet. I think it's just he's just ag from like all the testosterone or something. He's, you know, he's a. He's, we got your boy. Who's your Roddy one? I want to talk to. Let's talk about this road dog really quick. Let's show this Rottweiler.
Bosco.
Oh, he's with you. Wait, he by one right there.
Yeah,
he's
here in the apartment somewhere.
What's his name?
Bosco. Ooh. Come here, boy.
Come on.
He's just walking his way slowly here. There's the boy.
Oh, look at him. How old is he now?
He's 5 years old.
Nice.
He's a German Rottweiler. They're smaller than the American bloodlines. But he's a house boy more than anything. He's not neutered, and I don't think I'm going to do that to him ever.
I didn't know there was we're debating that in my house. I didn't know there was two variants of Rottweilers, because like with labs there, you have the American labs, which are much skinnier. They're like the field duck hunting labs, and you have the British labs, which are like fatter and squarer and stockier. We got the American one. They're a lot easier to manage. The British ones, by age 5, they just start getting really fat and they get hip problems.
Yeah. That's the bad thing about large dogs. Their lifespans are shorter. My mom had a French poodle that lasted 21 years.
Wow.
Recently passed away. Yeah, she was my youngest sister is 20, so the dog was 1 year older than her. So
very cool.
Big dogs, you get 8 to 12 good years, I guess. And he's on number 5, so we take extra care of him.
We got a girl lab.
Do it now.
We got a girl lab. She just turned 13 about a month ago. She's looking a little better this year than last year. You know, their hips start to go, stairs start to get stuff. She's a senior citizen. It was raining this morning. She refused to get off her bed, but you know, still a great girl. But now we've met the dogs. Let's meet you, man. What's Savant? Why you start this company?
Well, that's funny. I was in the nearshore staffing or outsourcing industry for around 10 years. I started working around 2008 in multiple industries, finance, insurance, all sorts of stuff, donation campaigns and stuff. I founded Savant mid-2016 after being in that industry for so long that I didn't have anything to do with it, in it anymore. And I did so while I was attending classes at my university while going through business, international business management. So I would be receiving 6 a.m. classes at international law. And while my Slack was being blown up because some carrier dropped off a load at last minute, and I'd be running up and down from the in our university from second floor to first floor where our offices were. And we were housed and counseled by them for around 2 years. Our first 2 years were inside a university campus. That's how more or less how we started.
I'm always curious, like, what was the spark of idea? So you'd worked in this industry, you kind of understood, and you were like, there's opportunity here. I'm going to start a company. What was that opportunity? Where could your company fit in?
So when I got out of the operations management and sales side of the industry, and I stopped working like that. I started doing counseling companies when it was coming time to like start opening their offshore centers here in Colombia, or they were looking at South America as a possibility. So I was pretty much doing consulting and doing call centers for hire. So that's what I did for maybe I did like 4 projects. And then one day I got tired of that and I got contacted by a customer and I passed it on to some good buddies in the industry. They came back like a month later and they said like, we don't want to work with them. We want to work with you. And I said, I don't work like that anymore. So if you want to do that, you have to do it with my company. And at that moment, I didn't have a company. So I started pretty much negotiating terms with them of what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it. I had just gotten out of commercial insurance for trucking. So I was somewhere in the industry orbiting around it. And when we came to terms the next day after we signed the contract, I went and created a company. And then it was pretty much like an accidental career path. Once I hit that first customer in logistics, that's been logistics ever since.
Very interesting. Now, so how are you helping companies in logistics? We're talking about a global supply chain, probably needs a global workforce. What do y'all be doing?
So when one of our main cores is we started as a BPO, as a call center oriented for logistics. Later down the road, we started doing staffing, nearshore staffing, which is pretty much almost like an employee leasing situation. And that's what we've been doing for the industry hiring an employee through Savant is like hiring through a recruiting agency that's doing a temp to perm or instead of a direct placement, and they're housed under our company. And it can go from anything from data entry to VIP account managers. So it's really broad. When people think about our industry, the first thing that comes to mind is data entry, cold calling, really basic type of stuff. And it doesn't take them long to realize that the talent that they're acquiring here in Colombia and Medellin is capable of much more. And they start slowly adding and giving them more important tasks. So it's not also a cost reduction situation, but it's also like an augmentation to their teams in the US. If you think about it, data entry in 2024 is something that it's looming, and it's in the end of its lifespan. We're definitely seeing the birth of AI, and automation has been around for a while. So data entry needs to start disappearing in the next couple of years. And that's something we need to get away from as an industry in general. Nobody wakes up in the morning saying, yay, I got data entry as my main job.
No,
nobody does that.
Nobody does. And I've had to do RFPs, a pain in the ass to comb through them, like going through the spreadsheets. And a lot of times you have no context for what something even is. And if a human doesn't, and AI won't have context either. There's a lot of data cleaning in this space. But how do you see automation and AI advancing through sort of outsourced work like this or global work like this?
So one of our first experiences with automation was around 2017. So we started the company in 2016. And the reason we started experimenting with automation was because we came into an industry that we came in a moment of surge prior to 2018. So we grew in headcount very quickly. But we also learned that seasonalities in freight can be pretty wild. So we went up to 50 agents in the first maybe 12 months. And then we had to downsize to like 18. And we were faced with the task that we had a service level agreement that we needed to keep up on pair, but we didn't have the headcount or the workload to do so. So we had to learn. I mean, we technically went into automation because the industry was forcing us into it, and we learned to do with 18 people what we used to do with 50 by automating a lot of things. And funny story is that we had several computers that were running by themselves. And as a joke, I'll send you a picture later. As a joke, we sat down one of those Halloween skeletons that you hang from a wall and they glow at the dark, and we put some headsets on it just to have somebody in the chair. And our teachers from our university, they would bring down entire classrooms out of nowhere, would just walk into our office to show them that computer that was doing tracing and tracking, for example, by itself. And they were telling them, hey, that's the future. There's no person there doing what a person would be doing. So on certain tasks, of course, not everything can be automated and not everything should be automated. But there's a lot of things that honestly should not be a headache for anybody at this point.
No. Hey, when I introduced you, I said you were a motorcycle enthusiast at the start of the show and a gamer. I'm still a gamer. Like I grew up, I got a Nintendo since I was like 5 years old and I've never stopped gaming. Like 40 years later, still gaming. What are you playing right now?
I'm playing Star Citizen. It's an unfinished game. It's an alpha state. It has a huge amount of funding, but if you're like a person that likes graphics and likes physics and realistic physics inside games, that's the game to go. And it's close to launch. And my setup, it's gonna sound funny. This is my work setup from my house. But as I work, I literally have a joystick right here next to my keyboard.
Got it. That's the great part of being an adult. You can buy all those like cool joysticks and stuff you beg your parents for Christmas. I mean,
my mom keeps every once in a while tells me like, when are you going to grow up? Every time she sees I come in with a new toy, and I'm like, that's not happening. I'm a 90s kid. I grew up reading books and playing Nintendo 64.
I'm pretty sure I'll play games until I die. Like when I'm on my deathbed, I'll have like a handheld game system or something or a VR headset on my head. I have no idea. But like I will continue to game as each new system comes out. You know what I do though? I've been going old school. I've been on Battlefield 5, Battlefield 1 right now. And my kid plays WWE 2K24 all the time. But those Battlefield games they're so atmospheric and so intense. If you haven't played them, they have conquest mode. You got to take down these points. You know, there's 64 to 128 like other online people. Like it's the closest you can kind of feel like you're in a war without actually having to get shot at.
Yeah, true. I try to stay away from the first person shooters because they stress me. I'm very competitive. So
yeah,
if you know, you can't get luck all the time. So every once in a while, I end up more stressed than when I start, and I'm like, this is not helping me. You know, plus
how many controllers have you broken? How many controllers have you thrown off the wall?
They're too expensive for me to throw them. We don't have that Best Buy protection plan down here in Colombia. So it's like, if you break it, you buy it again and it's expensive.
They are like $85, man. I got to get down to Colombia one of these days. It looks beautiful down there.
More than welcome. It's a beautiful day. It's a safe city. Medellin is great. I wouldn't change it for anything. I actually married down here and I kind of stayed here because of that.
Hey, Juan, you're a king.
I love the U.S. I love the U.S. I grew up in the U.S. I'm from the Northern Hudson area, from a town called Peekskill. That's where I went to all my elementary school. And I ended up finishing high school here in Colombia. And it's been hard for me to say, let's go live back in the U.S., even though I do have a second home over there in Atlanta.
Well, hey, I'll be down in Atlanta at Future Supply Chain. I'll tell you guys about that in just a second. But Juan, thank you so much for stopping by. How do people connect with you?
They can visit our website anytime, www.savant-international.com. My phone number is 305-768-9395. And we're on LinkedIn, Juan Baena at Savant.
Juan, you have an awesome weekend. Thank you so much for stopping by With the Truck today. Take care, sir.
Thank you for the invitation, Duner. You have a good one, man.
All right, everybody, before we go, check out this QR code for Fosco. Scan that thing. Go to live.freightwaves.com. We're going to be at Atlanta. The Great Debate, DAT versus Freight Waves. A bunch of What the Trucks. Guests like Ryan Peterson. It's going to be a time. Find me on Twitter, at Timothy Duner. Find this show wherever you get podcasts. Freight Waves, YouTube, SiriusXM's Road Dog Trucking, WTTgear.com. Get your ass to shirt. Take care. Don't be a stranger.